Hey there, it's Jen. And before we get started today, I wanted to tell you about a new opportunity I have coming up at the end of the month. I think you'll be really excited about. I have always been intrigued with the financial and investment world, but I had no idea how to get started, and I felt really intimidated by it. I looked at it as if we had two options. I could either give my money to a financial advisor and hope they knew what they were doing, or I was basically going to have to jump in and make a bunch of mistakes on my own. Both of those options did not seem like good options to me, so I stayed on the sidelines for far too long. Eventually, I finally jumped in. I had a lot of really great investment mentors that I learned from, and I did really well, and I learned that I was actually pretty good at it. So I've decided to create a group that I wished I had back then and help empower others to give them those nitty-gritty details on how to jump into the financial world and empower you with that information to get started. I believe everything in our world is changing, and we are in a massive window of opportunity. So I'm really excited for this group to share this valuable information that I've learned to help empower you for your financial future. So click the link in the show notes to sign up by June 30th for the early bird discount. See you there. Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts, to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be with you. So today, we're going to dial in on some really powerful things, but they're very simple once we uncover them. The journey I take with clients is so unique with each person, yet with every single one, there's a common denominator, and it pretty much comes down to the same things. So every person in their life has had some form of pain, right? Every person has beliefs about themselves that don't honor them and are holding them back in some way. Everyone pretty much wants the same things. We want love, connection, financial freedom, happy children. My job with each person is to shine the light on them and to uncover what does their heart desire and shine the light on what is blocking them from getting those things. It's so interesting to me when I ask people what they want, and several times they're like, well, I don't know what I want. And I think that we are so conditioned as a young child to not think for ourselves. And I'm really uncovering that even more and more as I look at our society and how we've given away our power in many aspects. And then we turn around and we do it to our children and we don't even realize it. And I'm sure I've done it to my kids as well. But the more I start to realize what we do for kids and when then we raise our children that way, the more I try to course correct as a parent. And what I mean by that is, as a small child, we are taught to conform and just do what society thinks we need to do. There was one time when I realized, you know, with my kids, we're really serious about having kids that are respectful. We want them to look people in the eye. As a young child, I would always have my kids order for themselves at restaurants so that they would get used to getting out of their comfort zone and speaking for themselves. Now, while I think those things are positive and really good, there was something I uncovered that I was doing that wasn't so great with my children. And that was when we would go to, you know, a family gathering and I would say, oh, go give Uncle Billy a hug or go show respect. And I realized I was teaching my kids to not listen to their internal guidance system. If my 10-year-old daughter doesn't want to go give Uncle Billy a hug, she should not go give Uncle Billy a hug. She needs to listen to her internal guidance system. And my 10-year-old daughter, she's taught me a lot because she has massive intuition and a lot of spiritual gifts. And she will tell me mom, I don't get a good vibe from that person, or I don't feel right about that person. And I've learned to open my eyes and support her more in that. And so I think that there's different ways to look at these things as far as how we're teaching our children. But when you think about going into school, kids are so creative. They're creative, they're smart, they're funny, they're hilarious, they love to explore, and they go for 30 to 40 hours a week sitting in their desk, single line, facing forward, not talking until they're supposed to talk, and all of these things. And it's really stamping a lot of creativity out of them. So we need to help support them in the other ways that they can to help them know what do they want, so that when they become an adult, they are more apt to knowing how they can create and what they want. At the end of the day, we all hold these stories, and they start when we're young, okay? We hold these stories that don't honor us. The reason I'm talking so much about children is because all of us, we are really just little girls in a grown woman's body, right? Because at the end of the day, we're wounded children, and we have these stories that we pick up along the way, and we keep them, and we don't even realize that we have them. But they're stories that aren't honoring us, and they're simply lies that we've picked up along the way. I'm going to tell you about a client that I started working with. I had her on my podcast. Her story is super radical. Her shifts were really radical, and I love her example. Her name's Lauren. And in 1 year, she found the courage to leave an 8-year toxic relationship. She stood on her own for several months, finding her power. Week by week, we would work together as she would pull back the layers and heal. She healed deep wounds that she had had as a very young girl. She purchased her first home. The ironic thing about that is she is a real estate agent, and she has been for years, and she had this booming real estate business and was always telling people that they needed to buy, yet she hadn't ever bought her own home. And it was something that she wanted more than anything, but she was really afraid of it. And at the end of the day, once we uncovered what was keeping her back from that, these are all very subconscious things that we have no idea that we're even holding. But as we drilled it down, the thing that was blocking her was her father and her relationship and the wounds that she had with her father. Now, how does this correlate to her purchasing a home? As we drilled down on the fears that she had buried deep within her, she was terrified that she wouldn't be able to make her house payment, she would end up losing her home, and she would essentially have to move back in with her father. This is something that she had no idea she was holding. But once she uncovered it, it was like, oh my gosh, that's silly. Okay. That's silly. I don't want to have that belief. And it really is just like connecting the dots. And once we connect the dots, now we have power. It's like when we were kids and we would have a connect the dot picture. You first look at it and it's just a bunch of jumbled numbers. But eventually you go 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and then you connect those dots, and then you go, oh, I get it. It's a puppy, or it's a sailboat on water, or whatever the picture was. Once you uncover and you connect those dots, that's really like 90% of the battle to change our lives, is uncover those deep stories within us. So she purchased her first home. She lost over 100 pounds and met the love of her life. And they're now planning their future together. How did she do all of this in 1 year? It comes down to this. We uncovered the most toxic, most destructive, and the biggest lie she'd been telling herself for her whole life. And that is, I'm not worthy. How many of you have that story? To some degree, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to have a healthy body. I'm not worthy to have a beautiful, honoring marriage. I'm not worthy to have a booming business. It came down to this one story. And once she was able to uncover this story, and I'm not trying to make it sound easy, because we put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears week by week, uncovering these things and healing these deep wounds within her. But this belief ran so deep within her that she had began telling herself stories at a very young age, trying to convince her that she didn't want things that she wanted more than anything. One of those things is that she wants to be a mom. Somehow she picked up this story as a young child that she wasn't worthy to be a mom. And so she started convincing herself she didn't want that. When people would say, hey, are you going to get married? Or, hey, are you going to have kids? She would kind of make fun of it. Like, no, I don't want kids. No. And she was 30 years old before she finally said out loud, I want to become a mom. And guess what happened when she said that? She started crying and crying and crying to me when she said that out loud. And she said, Jen, that's the first time I've ever admitted that to anyone, because it's been a story that I have convinced myself I didn't want. So I tell you about Laren because we all, to some degree, are Laren. We sabotage ourselves daily. This is all a subconscious thing that we don't even realize. So let's talk about conscious versus subconscious. The brain is made up of both subconscious and conscious part of our brain. Right now, I'm speaking to you from the conscious part of my brain. If you were to take the brain and look at it, a small little slice, about 5% of the brain is conscious. And these are the things that we're aware that we're doing. Okay. These are the stories that we're aware that we have. The other 95%, which is the major motherboard of how we create in our lives and the stories that we have going on in the background, is 95% subconscious. And it's just like that background computer program going on in the background. It's like if you were to pull up your phone and you've got lots of apps on there, right? So all of the apps on your phone would be, let's compare that to the subconscious. And then when you pull up whatever app you want, like Instagram or Facebook or whatever, then that one app would be what you're aware of at that time. That would be symbolic to your conscious part of your brain. But there's so many other things on your phone in the background, right? So kind of think of it in those terms, that there's so many times where I'll say things to people or we'll uncover things and they'll be like, well, no, I don't think so. Like, I don't believe that, you know? And at the end of the day, if something is showing up in our life, that is what is going on in the subconscious. That is a really simple way to know what is going on in the subconscious part of our brain. Here's another example. I had a woman come to me one time and we were doing a consultation and I asked her if she loves herself. And she said, yeah, I do. And I said, okay, cool, great. I'm all about that. And as we dove deeper into her life, she started to tell me, you know, things going on in her life. And she started to tell me that her boyfriend that she had been with for probably 2 or 3 years, that he was very disrespectful to her, that he would call her these names, and that they even got in a fight and he tried to choke her. Sister, you don't love yourself. If you're in a relationship that is not honoring you and that it's to that degree, then you've got a lot of stuff, a lot of stories going on in the subconscious that you're not even aware of. But what's showing up in physical form does not lie. Okay. It's the same thing with our business or health or our money situation. So if you feel like you have great stories about money, and you can't ever keep it, or you have, you know, financial issues, then there's a disconnect here because they are definitely correlated. At the end of the day, our life is made up of our story. I want to jump into what is called the upper limit problem. This is such an important idea for us to grasp and to understand because it goes back to Laren and what she was doing in her life with self-sabotage. So if you imagine two parallel lines, okay, what's between these two parallel lives is our life surrounded by our friends, our family, our jobs, our habits, our patterns. And we go through everyday life living between these two lines. This is also considered our comfort zone. We're born into a certain comfort zone. That's what we pick up from our parents. We take on their belief systems to a major degree, right? And then we get to a certain age and we start to try to separate ourselves and look at our parents and go, okay, What do I like that I learned from my parents? What do I not like? And what can I shift? When we get older, we start to change a little bit, but a lot of it's already deeply ingrained within us. And that is our comfort zone. That's why, you know, so many times people are born into money and then they keep money and they keep it and they keep it and they keep it. And it's like wealth. A lot of people think, well, that's because their parents gave them money. No, that's their stories that they inherited. Because if you look at somebody like that wins the lottery, right? Most of the time they lose it and they lose it quick. Why is that? It's because they didn't have that belief system that money comes easy, that they didn't have healthy stories around money, and their stories and their experience were off. They all of a sudden had all this money, but they don't have healthy stories when it comes to money. And so they blew it all and they got rid of it because they didn't feel comfortable having it. So they hurried. It's like hot potato, like, oh my gosh, I have too much money. Let's give it away. Got to get rid of it. Let's blow it somewhere. So that is those two parallel lines, which is our comfort zone. Okay. We go through everyday life between those two lines, but the moment we hit outside of the lines, either up or down, but especially when we go up, our subconscious freaks out because it's like not the norm and we want to get back in those zones. That's what's called the upper limit. That's the glass ceiling that we hear about, you know, that glass ceiling. Well, we all have one, and it is whatever we feel like we deserve or whatever we feel like we are worthy of. So our life is a direct reflection of what we feel worthy of. When we achieve too much success or happiness or wealth, our ego tends to bring us back down within those lines, back into our comfort zone, giving us negative thoughts or behaviors to self-sabotage ourselves. This is the upper limit problem. It's like, no, I did too good today. And I don't deserve that. And so I got to go in and I got to open the cupboards and self-sabotage. I got to ruin what I just did because I did too good. It seems nuts that we would do that, but this is what we all do. Same thing. Let's look at relationships. And they are the trickiest thing for human beings to figure out, especially our intimate relationship. It is directly correlated to this upper limit problem. This showed up big time in my own life. My husband and I have shifted and changed so much in our marriage. But for so many years, I had that story, that deep belief of I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to have somebody that shows up for me, that loves me unconditionally, that I can trust, that has my best interest even when I'm not looking. And I had a lot of trust issues. And they started when I was a very young girl. I had a lot of trauma as a child. And when I became an adult, it just carried through with me and I would self-sabotage in my marriage. And how did that show up? Well, I didn't trust my husband, or I would criticize him or start fights with him if things were going too good. If they got to this point where they were going too good, then I had to self-sabotage. And so I had no idea I was even doing that. And once I uncovered that, things really, really started to shift. Most of us are not ready, you know, to feel good or happy 100% of the time. Like, we'll let ourselves feel good, right? But not 100% of the time. We got to like throw in some negative things in there. So when we want to be happy, positive, healthy, wealthy, but we're still doing things that are holding us back because we don't believe it's possible. In business, there's a pattern we see that you might be doing all the things right, but you're not making money. Or you might be very successful, but your relationship isn't working. Or you've become well-known and then you start self-sabotaging yourself. Or you won an award, but you find yourself not happy about it. Or you find yourself depressed. There's many examples that we can relate to. But what happens is the fear and the self-doubt comes in. And fear comes from our ego. The part of us that wants recognition and protection from being judged in society. So once we make a commitment to live in our full potential, we just need to recognize what we're doing. When we do try to self-sabotage, as soon as you start to realize what it is you're doing and uncover that, now you hold all the power. We have this internal thermostat. I call it an internal compass, internal thermostat. And it's going to, you know, remember those two lines, those parallel lines. That's basically our internal thermostat that determines how much love, success, wealth, health we could handle in our life. And the thing is that this thermostat gets set and programmed by our parents, our friends, our teachers, and the people around us at a young age. And then we grow up with those. But we can change those. So for me, I have really, really changed those two parallel lines as to what I feel comfortable with. And I've done a lot of work to transcend that and break through that ceiling and then take it up a notch and another notch. And I'll always be working on that the rest of my life, because there's always room for more joy, more peace, more success. And when I talk about success, I don't necessarily mean money. Of course, money is great. Financial freedom is great. But what really, really matters and what I've really focused on and shifted is, how much adoration will I allow my hubby to give me? How much love will I allow him to bring towards me and I'll accept it? How much joy and connection will I allow myself to have with my children? How much confidence will I allow myself to have so that I can feel strong enough to stand on a stage and lead? I remember even just posting on social media. I know that's a big part of business nowadays. And so many times, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, I know what people are going to say when I post this. They're going to go, who does Jen think she is? Because I know what she's really gone through. I know that she's had a failed marriage and that she made a lot of mistakes. And I remember all the guys that she dated as a single mom. And I remember all these things. Now she thinks she's a life coach telling people how to live a fabulous life. And I had those stories in the back of my mind. And we do that as like, well, maybe when I lose, you know, 10 more pounds, 20 more pounds, then I'll feel strong enough to lead. Or maybe when I feel like I have more money in my bank account, I'll feel strong enough to lead. Or who am I to tell people about their relationship because my husband and I fought last night? Or whatever stories come up for us. At the end of the day, we are all human and we all are on a journey and we all have things that we learn from. And that's our training ground. That's what made me have more, you know, knowledge, because I had a failed marriage. So yeah, that experience helped me, because now I can tell people how to pick themselves up from divorce and move forward, or how to live life as a single mom and to heal yourself and all of those things. It's not about perfection. There's four zones in the Big Leap. The first zone is called the zone of incompetence. This is a zone of where you're doing things in your life that you're really not good at. It doesn't make you feel good. It makes you feel like a loser. It makes you feel crappy. And it's just not where you want to be. This is one of those lower zones where it's like not fulfilling. And we see people living in this zone. If you kind of think about these four zones that I'm going to go through, you're going to see that as you start to think about these, you're going to be like, oh yeah, my mom lives in this zone, or I remember, you know, Uncle Joe lives in that zone, or whatever. You'll see that people create these different lives for themselves. But that first zone is incompetence. It's the least fulfilling, and it's definitely not where we want to be. The next zone is the zone of competence. This is something that, you know, you're fine at, you're decent at this, but it doesn't take a lot of challenge or skill or talent or creativity to do this. This could be something that, you know, pretty much most people could do. So maybe this could be like stocking shelves at a store or something like that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying that, you know, that if you were doing that, it might not feel like you're using your creativity and your gifts to bless the world. Okay. Hasn't taken a lot of you getting out of your comfort zone to get to that place. That's the zone of competence. The third zone is the zone of excellence. This is actually the most dangerous zone to be in. And the reason that is because this is something you're really good at and you're comfortable in this. And your friends and your family, they're like, wow, you're amazing. And they think that you were born to do that. This is where, you know, you make a good living and you're so comfortable in this place. I can really relate to this zone because I was in this zone right before I started my business. So let's look at the zone of competence. This would have been me as a server. I was a server at a restaurant for many years. I'm not saying that job is easy because it's not, but eventually I was there for 7 years and it was like, all right, I'm not really pushing myself forward. Like I could do this all day long. But then I got out of my comfort zone and I ended up getting my degree and I got a job in the pharmaceutical world. And that was a big deal for me because it took a lot of interviewing and me getting my degree and all of these things. It was more money than I'd ever made. And I got into that professional and that's where everyone was looking at me like, wow, Jen, you're amazing. You've done this as a single mom. That was great for a while. But over time, I realized that there was something more. This is where you're in that space where you're like, there's something more. There's something more. And what is it? Because I'm now feeling this little space of emptiness. So the last zone, which is where it's like, I have arrived. I'm doing what I was born to do. And that is the zone of genius. This is where you are really blessing the world with your gifts. And you've pushed yourself out of your comfort zone really far. And you've busted through that glass ceiling, that upper limit problem. This is where you've done a lot of work. You've healed yourself. You're really standing in your power. You've really come into your own. This is where you start to focus more on nurturing yourself than other people nurturing you and really loving and honoring yourself and shutting down those stories, you know, of like, oh, what's this person going to think if I get out there, if I do this post, or if I stand in the front of the stage? This is where you go, you know what? I'm not listening to all that anymore. I'm standing in my power. I know I have gifts. I know I've learned a lot. I know I'm not perfect, but I have gifts to share with the world and I'm ready to do that. This is that zone of genius. This is where you're really using your creativity. And so for me, I ended up getting to a point where I started to feel empty with my pharmaceutical job. It was like, you know what? I'm not on the planet to bring people cookies. I don't like it anymore. I've gone through hell and I've healed. And I found myself sitting down when I would go in to meet with my clients. And instead of talking about medication, which at this point, you couldn't pay me enough to go back to that industry. Instead of talking about medication, I was now sitting down and talking to people about their marriage and their children. And because that is my zone of genius, I realized that all the things that I had gone through for that first 35 years of my life, it was my training. It was my stomping grounds, my training grounds to get my footing, to figure out my life so that I was prepared to step into this role. With all of you, you all have a zone of genius. What is that for you? And are you pushing yourself forward to feel comfortable in your zone of genius and living in that zone? See, people will look at you when you leave that zone of excellence and stand into your zone of genius. And you will get criticized, or people will go, what is she doing? Why would she leave that? I had that when I left my job and I completely walked on from that career and went from that salary, that cushy salary, to zero and starting into no man's land. I didn't know how to do women's retreats or seminars or coaching. I hadn't done any of that. And I didn't know. It's like, can I really open my doors and say, hey, come on in for healing? Is this really going to work or is this a pipe dream? I realized that when you're in your zone of genius, what happens is things start to unfold organically. People start to find you and you start to just be organically guided from one step to the next, living what you were born to do. So I'm going to give you three things on how to start living in your zone of genius and how to start feeling more comfortable in that zone. Number one, we're going to change your story. We have to start paying attention what we are saying behind the two most powerful words in our vocabulary, which are I am. We all have these I ams that we say all day long. We'll say, I'm broke, or I'm financially free. I'm fit, or I'm unhealthy. I'm happy, or I'm sad. We have all of these I ams that we say constantly, and our life is made up of our I ams. So in order for you to start feeling comfortable to live in your zone of genius, you have to become aware of what you're saying behind those two powerful words, and you want them to be honoring. I do an entire segment on these two words alone because they're so important. I help people realize how they can structure their I ams, because there are things that we say and we don't even realize it because they're really sneaky. Number two, mirror work. Remember how I said your life is a direct reflection of what you feel worthy of? It's really important that when we get in front of the mirror, we start paying attention. What is our loop-de-loop? When you stand in front of the mirror, are you immediately criticizing? Oh my gosh, you know, I have a muffin top here, or I have too much gray hair, or oh, I've got wrinkles showing, or you know, you're not showing up good enough as a mom, or all of these things that you don't even realize, but the minute you get in front of the mirror, you're saying them. So pay attention to that. And how do we shift that? We intentionally get in front of the mirror and we start speaking love to ourselves. We start saying things to ourselves that we would want someone to say to our daughter. Wow, that's a radical thought, mamas, to start talking to yourself how you would want somebody to talk to your child. That is the best thing we can do for our children. The number one thing we can do for our children is start to honor and love ourselves. I almost cringe to think about if I would have stayed where I was before, where my children would be right now with their self-esteem. This is not to put guilt on you. This is not pressure. This is power. Because once we realize this, and it doesn't matter what age, because I have two older and two younger, I have two sets of children, and I was in a completely different space with my two older children. Because I was a single mom, I was flailing, I had a lot of really crappy stories attached to me. It was part of the plan. I fully believe that these beautiful, amazing children were sent to me to come into this crazy time in my life. And so it isn't something to feel guilty about. I've worked through a lot of that, but it's something that we can change the way that we show up at any moment. And it doesn't matter how old our children are, or at what point we decide to step on that path and start honoring ourselves. Stepping in front of the mirror and saying kind and loving things to yourself. Specifically, what I want you to do is to say your name, look deep into your eyes, because eyes are your window to your soul, and say, I love you. I really, really love you. So for me, I would look in the mirror and I would say, Jen, I love you. I really, really love you. I want you to do that with yourself and teach this to your children and do this multiple times a day, because we find ourselves in front of the mirror multiple times a day anyways. So I'm not asking you to do anything you're not already doing. I'm just asking you to shift those things. So for example, you're already saying I ams all day long. Just shift them to say them in a positive manner instead of a negative manner. When you're in front of the mirror, washing your hands, brushing your teeth, doing your makeup or whatever, instead of saying in the background things that are not honoring you and criticizing you, shift it and start to say, hey, you are doing awesome. I'm proud of you. You're showing up as a great mom. You're beautiful. You're strong. And I love you. I really, really love you. And start to shift that. Okay, number three, allow yourself at least 10 minutes a day, just 10 minutes, to be in that space of the zone of genius. Whatever that looks like for you, I'll go back to when my friend came up to me at that seminar and said, wow, Jen, I remember you telling me that you would visualize this, seeing yourself standing in front of a room and speaking to hundreds of people. And now here we are. That was because I would allow myself this small little window day by day to be in my zone of genius, just in my house, in a corner of my house. What I would do is I would wake up before my house wakes up. And I've done this for many years because at the time when I started doing this, I was 35 and I had two small children. I had a 1 and a 2-year-old, and I didn't have a lot of me time. And so I got up at 5:30 because I had to find it. And I got up at 5:30 and I would find a quiet corner of the house and I would close my eyes and I would visualize me in my zone of genius. So however that looks, whether it's you standing there signing books of a book you wrote, or and there's a line of people waiting to talk to you, or you standing there with your team and your team is, it has grown and they're abundant and they are looking to you to lead them and they're so grateful to you and they have tears in their eyes for you changing their lives. How does that look for you? Allow yourself 10 minutes a day to visualize that and stay in that zone of genius and to feel comfortable there. Because the more you allow yourself in that space, you're retraining your comfort zone. You're pushing those parallel lines up. There is a quote by Marianne Williamson that I just love so much. And it is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. I love that so much. All right, my dears, have a fabulous week and bye for now.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.